Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
Today we're going to be talking about burnout, what causes it, how it affects developers, how to prevent it, and how to get rid of it quickly.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump right in. What do you guys think causes burnout?
Well, some people think that it's strictly caused by too much work. I don't know if that's exactly true. It could be part of the problem, but not necessarily all of the problem. There's plenty of people that work crazy hours and they still don't suffer from burnout.
Have you guys ever experienced any type of burnout yourselves?
Only for the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, definitely. I think of this as sort of the next bullet point we're talking about is, I don't know if it's so much like the load itself, but there's sort of that work-life balance question is if you're getting sort of the, I always sort of attribute it to like I'm giving a lot for myself. I sort of feel when I'm feeling burned out, I feel like I've given everything I've got and I haven't sort of recouped. And so when you get that right amount of balance where you're able to sort of feel like you're sort of making a net neutral of giving and then sort of recouping, then you can kind of keep on a high level, perhaps. But sometimes it seems like you kind of steadily, that balance can get off for me. And then I just sort of end up feeling like I'm, every week it's like another little bit less recoup than what I've given the week before.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think work-life balance is work and not work.
Yes.
And that's not exactly true. Like having a family is also work. So if you don't give yourself a break, if you're either at work or working on your family, sometimes that can also be real, real stressful and lead to burnout.
Yeah. And like Ash mentioned, I find that I get myself into trouble when I commit myself to doing too much. I like to volunteer. I like to help out. I like to get involved. I like to give of myself because I feel like I have something to give. I have some knowledge to share, or I have something that I can do to help out someone in need or an organization in need. So I end up committing to too much and then feeling like a little bit overwhelmed at times.
Yeah, that can definitely do it.
Yeah, I feel like that sort of leads to that next bullet point, which is that compounding stress. You're mentioning how like having a family or working with your family, right? That can end up sort of being, so I have all the stress at work, maybe the extracurricular stuff that I'm doing and I'm trying to give on those things. And then I come home and it's like, okay, well, my family has needs that I need to be meeting. And I'm meeting those needs, but then I like get to the end of it and it's like, okay, now it's time for me to go back to this other, to work and start giving back to them. And that just sort of compounds over and over and over again. You can feel, and unfortunately for me, I don't know, but I feel like my family ends up taking the brunt when I get most frustrated there because I'm like, hey, leave me alone, because I can't really say that to my boss.
I mean, you could, but then they wouldn't be your boss.
Yeah, they would leave me alone for real, for good. They would be like, no problem, John, we'll see you later.
I think I've been guilty of that as well. And that is the case, unfortunately, is that oftentimes we feel like, okay, you know, our businesses, our work environments can ask a lot of us because they're giving us money in return for our effort. And then we get home and you know, our family has commitments. We have commitments to our families. And, you know, there's a different level there because there's unconditional love that maybe work doesn't necessarily have for you. That unfortunately, sometimes, like you said, they bear the brunt of the frustrations, of the stress levels, of the burnout, because maybe we take that relationship for granted that they'll be there and they'll take it, they'll accept it. And that's typically, you know, that's pretty unfair to ask of our loved ones.
Yeah. Well, especially when, you know, like they're not there with you at work, so they don't know what kind of work you're getting there. And all they have is their need from you. You know, the kids need to be loved. The spouse needs to be loved. Obviously, the spouse doesn't want to do everything for the kids and for you and for the house. So you've got to take your fair share of that as well. And having all that responsibility stack up when you're already stressed out, it can be a real big problem.
Yeah, you have to remember that there are people going through the same cycles of burnout too, right there with you. So they're dealing with whatever stresses elsewhere, whether they're at home, whether they're going off to a work, whether they're at school, they're all dealing with their own versions of that giving and participating and things. Part of them recuperating is needing you to be there for them, to be helping build into them and whatnot.
So I think it's fair to say that so burnout is kind of like a state of depression, but the cause of burnout is basically not being able to keep up with the expectations of work, family, and the expectations that you put on yourself. It's just treading water with 10-pound weights on each foot. It's really, really hard.
And I would extend that to be, for me at least, like I find it difficult to gain motivation right after that. So like the main crux is that it's difficult for me to be motivated to do anything when I'm kind of in that burned out state.
Yeah, even false motivation.
Yeah, even false motivation. Yeah, I just want to sit around.
Yeah, I watch a lot of TV.
So with that being said, you know, how does burnout affect you as a developer? How does it affect your work environment? How does it affect your output?
It can damage productivity quite a bit. The kind of the first stage that I notice is struggling to focus on your work, focus at work. You kind of have as we just said, you kind of have an inability to make yourself work. Like, you know, you have to, but you still can't make yourself do it. And sometimes you might even blame the job and just want to quit and walk away and go get another job, because having a new job feels better than dealing with the job that you have right now. And I think we all understand that going to a new job is not going to be better per se. It's going to be slightly different, but every workplace that I've ever been at has generally the same problems. Mm-hmm. So it's not the problems at work that's the problem. It's that you're letting the stress of that stack up on top of you.
Yeah. And again, I think committing to too much and having a large ask sometimes from companies asking for you to deliver certain features and values that, you know, we feel the need to please. So we want to take on that amount of work. So oftentimes we might say, oh yeah, that's no problem. We can get it done. We can meet that unrealistic expectation. We can kill ourselves to deliver X, Y, and Z features, right? So part of that is we need to take better care of ourselves to hopefully keep that dialogue open with those that are asking and saying, no, we can't commit to that. We can't deliver in this timeline.
I think one of the other things is I think we were talking about you missing or not failing to meet the expectations, but I think a lot of times it's expectations you've put on yourself. And I think this is why you have a lot of high performing people that tend to do a lot and, you know, way more maybe than the average person tends to suffer a lot from burnout. But it's because they're the ones putting that expectation on themselves. And I think one of the things we need to do is sort of lower those expectations for ourselves and recognize I can't do everything, or I can't do as much as I wanted to, or just be accepting of, because I'm into all of these other things, I'm going to have to let these other, you know, I want to do this other thing, so I'm going to have to let something else go. And understanding that we have to, there is a finite element to us that we can't just keep on giving, even if we want to. And that for me, I think, is the biggest thing. I don't know that I've been in too many situations where someone has held me to a super high expectation and that I've been able to fail. I've failed to like cover that. But I think far more I find myself putting myself, you know, failing to meet my own expectations and having to say, okay, John, you need to step back, get some reasonable expectations for yourself and understand that you can't do everything.
Clayton, you kind of touched on as well that there's a certain amount of depression that is involved with burnout, right?
Yeah, in the notes, it's a spiraling descent into unhappiness. So basically, when you have all these expectations put on you, whether they're your own or someone else's expectations, it weighs you down and you start to get the early stages of burnout and you stop being as productive and you stop being as helpful at the home and you start failing on some of your personal projects. When you see that stuff happening, it just stacks again on top of what was already happening. And so it just gets worse and worse and worse as time goes on until you actually fix the problem. So you end up with all of the symptoms of depression. So burnout in the early stages may not technically classify as depression, but it definitely leads down that path. You'll have difficulty managing your work, your family, your finances, exercise and eating habits. I have a bag of chips on the desk right now. Like a full-size bag for anybody who can't see it. It's the family-size bag you go to the store and get. All of this stuff just stacks up, and every piece that stacks just makes the problem worse. And so you have to find a way to dig yourself out of it.
So what are your personal signs of that you may be getting into a phase of burnout?
It's hard to say. I don't see it until I would say it's like way too late. But when I start a new job, I don't have this weight on me. Like the weight's just been lifted, started a new job. And at some point, I start getting frustrated with my coworkers. But it's not really them that I'm frustrated with. It's the situation. Mm. And it's only the situation because something in the situation is causing me to feel like I'm not doing as much as I could. So it's ultimately a super high expectation from myself for my own performance. But it ends up manifesting itself as an outward, almost rage to particular coworkers. And then I get in trouble and then other stuff happens. And so in the past couple of years, I've really started to try and keep that in check. But that anger wells up. I don't know, like when I was growing up, you're not allowed to be sad. You're not allowed to be upset. You have to conform to what society wants you to do and be. And so I was kind of raised to box everything in, to bottle it all up. And then, you know, we get an overpressure situation and the cap explodes and then everybody's in trouble. That's where mine starts. Now, I know that you guys have also experienced burnout to differing degrees. So how does yours start?
Mine starts with, I have every intention of trying to stay in shape, relatively healthy. I've always eaten like a teenager and probably always will. So my diet is horrendous and always will be. But in moments of stress, it gets worse, believe it or not. Exercise is out of the question once the stress levels reach a certain point. Kind of just a certain amount of apathy that it's just, I'm going to go through the day. I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to do the things that I know that I have to do, and very little else, right? Because at the point that I'm feeling burnt out, it's because I have committed myself to too much. Maybe there's a high pressure deadline at work that is just the way it is. But that compounded with any extracurricular activities that I've committed to. I volunteered coaching my son's soccer team. I do this podcast and blogging, and we host the meetup, and we wrote the book a couple of years ago, and all those extra things, and also extra side projects, trying to stay up on technology and trying to dive into Kubernetes and microservices and anything and everything, and studying for certification exams. So once that, you know, everything that I've committed to comes to a head, then things are just going to start falling apart. And unfortunately, at that point, I need to start bowing out of some of the responsibilities that I've committed myself to.
What about you, Ash?
Yeah, for me, I would say that in some ways, like probably the early onsets is there's an extra level of snark that kind of comes out for me, but which maybe we've already seen a little bit of that today. But some of that is sort of a defense mechanism for me to just try to laugh at the situation and relieve some of that stress that I feel internally. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm very similar to both of you guys. Like when I sort of notice it coming on is when I start feeling just overwhelmed. I feel like everyone needs everything from me, And it's like, I just feel like I go from moment to moment. And it's a lot of times it's not really true, but it's just the feeling that I feel. And I have to sort of, when I've now learned to like be constantly trying to assess that position and say, okay, what am I doing here? Is this possible? Do I need to let some things go? And I do try to immediately jump in and say, okay, I feel like I'm being overwhelmed here. So I'm going to explicitly tell these people, hey, I can't do this. Hey, I can't do this. Hey, I can't do this. And that gives me a chance to come back to that. And talking to my wife, she often gets told, hey, I feel overwhelmed. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And some of it, again, is not her fault, but I'm just letting her know, hey, this is where I'm at. And then we try to work from there. But when I'm not catching it properly, it does end up me just trying to like bury myself and ignore the rest of the world. So my Minecraft worlds are usually going pretty well. And, you know, there's like Netflix specials are, you know, well consumed. And YouTube, I've watched all of the YouTube episodes that I could find. So of whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of just trying to bury is usually my first reaction to just feeling overwhelmed. And that only makes the problem worse. And then I sort of have to like dig in and go, okay, but sometimes that does give me at least a little bit of effort or energy to say, sort of have taken that break from something, and then I can go with a more clear mind. Okay, I need to get a hold of this, and then I look at what are the things that I need to do in front of me. What do I need to do in order to get sort of out of this feeling of in debt to what to the demands that are on me, and then say, okay, what can I explicitly tell them? I can't do this now. And then what can I, you know, can I just carve off something to accomplish? And I also find that we talked about like the spiraling descent of unhappiness. I think there's a spiraling ascent of productivity and happiness that sort of goes the other direction. Like if you can put little targets in front of you, and you can sort of, like I said, a look at, okay, well, I feel all of the stress from all of these items, but really these, like the last 10 on my list aren't really due right now. I'm just sort of piling onto myself because I already feel overwhelmed, and I'm sort of giving more feed to the narrative, hey, that I need to do all these other things. So I kind of look at that and I go, I don't actually need to do these. Let's sort of put the blinders up from those items, and then let's look at the small subset of tasks that I can accomplish, and let's get one off the list. And take accomplishing those smaller tasks, getting one accomplished helps me sort of build that steam into like the locomotion that kind of gets me going. And then I can finally kind of get back into that good mood and good productivity. But that's sort of the way that I sort of assess and see things. And then, like I said, you know, I like to joke around about things, especially when I'm feeling stressed out, because it just sort of laughing helps me enjoy, I guess, experiencing the life, right? Like if I'm gonna have to be here and feel overwhelmed, I might as well laugh about it.
So you're always stressed.
Well, pretty much.
So that's a pretty good segue into, you know, how do we work on preventing the burnout from happening in the first place?
I mean, really, it's alleviating the stacked up pressure, right? Like don't let that happen in the first place. So I'll talk about work, and then you guys can divvy up some of the other stuff. But like at work, those deadlines that the business people want you to hit, they're not real. The world will not end if the software doesn't get done on time. Certainly, you would like to be able to do that for your company, because it would lead to more success in the company, both for you and for the company. But it's not a life or death situation. So if it's not going to happen, just let it not happen. When you rush to meet the deadlines, you cause bugs, you write bad code, and all of that just leads to more stress when you're dealing with the software later. So it's really not worth it to get in a huff over the tight deadlines.
I would extend that to almost every process that also takes place within a company too, because I feel like a lot of times, like, there are people that in order, because someone else is dropping the ball, they have to feel that they need to spend extra to fill in so that the ball never drops. But if the ball never drops, then the people that are expecting it don't never see the lack. They never see what you may go up and expend extra time, extra energy, extra effort, right, to make sure that everything gets just so. And I'm not talking about just going above and beyond of what you're doing and doing a job with excellence. I'm talking about like when you're burning yourself out in order to cover for some process or some people that are just badly designed, right? You have to let those things fall through, and it's not going to become the end of the world. It's not going to be the thing that like ends the company. But if you don't do that, especially on the little tiny ones, then no one knows that that there's this extra person covering that. They don't know what gaps you're filling in for.
Right. And when burnout affects your relationship with your family and your health, it would even be worth it to get fired from a job because you dropped the ball.
Sure.
In order to prevent, you don't want that affecting your family life and your health. Just if they're going to fire you for that, then it's the wrong company to be at anyway. Another thing, and this is kind of speaking to me personally, is you have to assume that everyone is doing the best that they can under the circumstance. You can't just say, oh, Bob or Sally, they're slacking off and all they're doing is watching YouTube all day, and I know they're not doing their job, and their job is easy. You can't focus on that. You can't do that. Just assume that they're doing the best they can under the circumstance. And if you get to a point where something that they've done is preventing you from doing your work, then ask the question, you know, hey, I need this thing. Can you help me with that? They either can or they can't, but if you don't ask the question, you won't know. And if they can't, someone else can. So just ask around until you get it. Even if it's not your job. If I have to do some QA or some business analysis, it better I do it and not get stressed out because somebody else didn't do it, than to sit there and just dwell on the fact that it didn't get done the way that I think it should get done. Because I probably don't know the right way either. But, you know, like I dwell on that they should know how to do this stuff. And I got to let that go. Dwelling on it leads to more stress, at least to tension within the team, doesn't help anybody. Don't do it. And then thirdly, ask for help. Like this is really hard to do for some people, especially like me. I feel like I should know everything and be able to do everything, but you got to ask for help. You're not an island, so you can't function as an island. You're on a team. You need to work with the team. You're not going to know everything. Someone else isn't going to know everything. You got to work together. Everybody ask everybody else for help. You're burning out. So clearly you can't do it on your own. You need those other individuals to help also.
One of the reasons that I took on volunteering and coaching my son's soccer team is as an activity outside of work, outside of normal home life. It's an opportunity for me to get outside and see the sunshine and stand up from behind a desk and get out and spend time with my son. I think it's really important, especially at his age, for me to be involved in his life. And it's really important to remind me of the things that are important to me, because whether or not a query worked or a page loaded fast enough really doesn't matter if my son missed me when he needed me, right? So those types of opportunities, you really want to jump on if you have the possibility to do something like that. I know that there's all kinds of hobbies that we've each enjoyed from time to time, whether it's blacksmithing or woodworking or bonsai or guitar or anything like that. Anything to just take your mind away from what might be causing you some stress or discomfort at any given point.
I have a big problem with my hobbies in that I go overboard. Sometimes I even cause my hobby to be another weight on my shoulders. So if you do pick up a hobby or you have a hobby that kind of lets you escape, let it let you escape. Don't let that compound the stress. The hobby is not to be stressful. The hobby is to be relaxing. If it's not relaxing, you're doing it wrong.
No, I was just going to kind of, I think what you covered there was really good. I think for me, like making sure I talk it out, talk to my wife, especially if you don't have, you know, talk to someone who's close to you, friends who are close to you. And, you know, we do happy hours with the team every once in a while, just to sort of like be those venting sessions. And that actually is, there's a lot of therapy and so sort of like talking about the stress, acknowledging we can run into troubles, we can run into hardships, we can run into problems. And sometimes if they never get acknowledged, we just sort of like, again, hang on to that and keep boiling that over. And what is good is to acknowledge that was there and then let it go, right? Acknowledge that this was an issue, acknowledge that this was something we didn't like. But then if you hang on to it, it's just going to ruin as long as you're hanging on to it. So let it go, move on from that, and try to make the next day different and better, and the next project and the next period, different. So talking that out with people is a really good way of just acknowledging that and then moving on from it.
Yeah. What if we're already in the throes of feeling burnt out? What if we're already down the path of the dreaded spiral of doom and gloom there?
Sometimes the best thing is to take a break if you can. If you have vacation time that you can take, then do that. Go, even if it's a staycation, just take a weekend, unplug, do something that you know is not going to be stressful. You have to discuss this with your family if you have one and make sure that they are also in on a stress-free weekend. But secondly, if the stress is related to work, you can possibly, not every company can do this, but sometimes you can ask to be put on a different team to kind of change things up so that maybe this long project that you've been on is just really got you weighed down. If you can switch over to another team, you get to change projects. It's almost like going to another job in that kind of stress relief capacity. And lastly, this is kind of like going on vacation, but sometimes you have to put your personal projects on hold. No matter how much you may not want to, sometimes you're really, really connected to your personal projects. But if you can't manage the stress and the weight of having those personal projects, then just pause them for a little bit so that you can breathe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know it's a sort of a later thing, but I think that it's a that we have on our bulleted list here. But seeking counseling, in my opinion, is a really good thing to do. If you're feeling that, and it might be professional counseling, you know, might be the where you have to go, but it also might be just counseling from a person you can trust, other people, just understanding. I think one of the biggest things is whenever you're trying to deal with these sorts of things, depression and whatnot, what the counselor is usually trying to do is help you look honestly with yourself and introspectively to yourself. And that's when you can talk to someone, especially someone you can trust and someone who knows what they're doing, right? They have a way to help you work through your own processing of that stress, your own processing of where are the real problem areas that are kind of causing these things to flare up, and where are the areas that you need to get a hold of. And that can be a great way of helping you know what do I need to take a break from? What do I need to box out? What do I need to sort of set aside? And how do I form that strategy that gets me to an effective way of moving beyond the burnout?
Yeah, I agree. Counseling can be quite helpful. It was further down because I've got them kind of arranged by like fear factor.
Yeah, and remembering too that if you need to back out or bow out of something that you've committed to with someone else, with another organization, with something else, that you are cautious that you don't want to disappoint someone, just know that you originally agreed to that thing because you thought you could do a good job for them. You thought you could provide a help, a service, something. And it's okay to have that conversation saying, at the time I wanted to commit to this, I could commit to this. Right now, I'm just not feeling that I can provide the help, the service. Something else has come up, whatever the case may be. There's going to be understanding there because everyone has those bouts of taking on too much.
Yeah, and it's definitely better to cut off that extra work earlier rather than later. It's the worst thing you would want to do is to have that turn sour and then have a bad relationship with that employer or friend. It's just really not worth it. If you cut ties early and it's an employer, you know, maybe you can go back to them and say, hey, that thing that was preventing me earlier is gone. And I really would like to continue working on that project or any other project you have. But if you let it go sour, that'll never happen.
Yeah. I think people are often, I'm sure that there are situations where people are not understanding. But in general, I think especially if you have done your best to sort of express the right levels of details and letting people know, hey, this is where I'm at. I can't do this right now. People really do most of the time want to understand. They want to be helpful and they want to support you. I know one of the things we have on here is seeking out new activities and new hobbies, right? And I think this is a great way to, you know, hobbies, especially like you're saying, that are low stress, is a great way to do things. The one caveat that I would for myself is it's really difficult for me to enjoy the hobby if I still have that stress looming. So I kind of have to find a way first to have given myself the time to have that hobby or to have that break, so that taking the break or being able to let someone know, hey, I can't do this anymore, giving myself that space. If I even when I just sort of bury my head in the sand, ultimately I know like it's never useful to do that for me, because like deep down inside, even if I'm sort of trying to do my best to repress the fact that there's something going on here, it's sort of gnawing at me the entire time. And until I've really properly taken care of that and said either, yes, I'm not going to be able to do this for you, or yes, I've taken care of it, it's difficult to like actually enjoy the benefits that you get out of doing that new hobby thing or whatever it is, to relax.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It's very important not to, the new hobbies in the outline comes after take a break, specifically because the hobby can't be a retreat. It can't be like, I've got all this work pounded up, you know, compiled on top of me. I'm going to go home and then just retreat into a room and do this hobby. That's the wrong way. That's no different than sitting on the couch and drinking until you can't see straight, which I'm sure some of us are guilty of. The hobby has to be like you have to have made time for it, and then you want it to be low stress because you want it to be mentally helping you fix the problem, not making you feel more guilty for not doing the thing you should have been doing.
As we start to wrap up here, I wanted to reiterate something that Clayton, you had said, that assume everyone is doing the best that they can under the current circumstances, yourself included. So try to remember that you took on all the extra work or all the extra commitments, or the boss has asked you to commit to these features because they're expecting that you have done good work, you can do good work. They may or may not know about your current load and stress level, but just remember yourself that you're doing the best that you can. So don't be too hard on yourself.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you feel like they're not living up to the expectations, maybe they're also suffering from burnout, and having tension doesn't help with that situation. So you got to always assume that people are doing their best. And like John said, including yourself.
With that, folks, be sure to take care of yourselves.
If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at sixfiguredev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.